Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 596 of the Drunk Testers podcast. I'm your host, I'm Tyler. And joining me, we have the man, the myth, the legend himself, Sir Colonel Gables. What's up, buddy? Long time, no talk.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I know, right? Listeners, for those wondering why we are here so soon after the events of our last podcast, well, gaming news never sleeps, apparently, as on a random Sunday of all days, we get news that Xbox is going to be, or quite close to, being a third-party publisher with all that other shit. And right now, I'm feeling confused. All sorts of crazy things are going on in my mind, all different questions. This, in my honest opinion, is probably the closest I have felt to being kind of like completely confused since, well, since like over 20 years ago when Sega went third party.
Yeah. Like it's a weird time. Normally Gables and I, we get together, record every Saturday night and the podcast goes up Sunday. We did that. If you want to check out that, but like, yeah, like Gable said, Sunday night, Tom Warren comes out to report about Indiana Jones. Then, John Clark from Xbox Air comes out with a report about, Starfield. And then this morning, Jeff Grubb drops another bombshell, and we'll get on to all this. But this is not a normal episode. This is an emergency podcast. This is just going to be about everything that's gone on in the last, like, 18 hours. Of, like, you know, I was sitting there just playing Suicide Squad, which I don't want to talk about right now. And all of a sudden, all these reports just start dropping. And, I messaged Gables. You know, it's Monday afternoon. It is 4:45 Central Time. It is so 2:45 Pacific time. So if anything happens after this, this is why we didn't talk about it. So you have a general idea timeline right now on Monday, February 5th. So it's been a crazy couple days in the gaming world. And like you said, this is a weird time, Gable. So let's just jump into it and talk about it here. So
yes,
some stuff has been going on. Is like, so we've been hearing the reports lately of like, Hi-Fi Rush coming to Switch, and then it was like, oh, maybe it looks like some of the PlayStation. And we talked about it a couple weeks ago where I was like, oh, okay. Now, if you hear my birds in the background, I apologize. It's crazy hour for them. But, you know, I talked about it, and we kind of, I think we were on the same boat where it's just like, okay, like these, like, no offense, like Hi-Fi Rush is my game of the year from last year. And I was like, these type of games like Pentiment and then Hi-Fi Rush and stuff like this, like coming to other platforms just makes sense. They're small games. They're probably not making their money back. They're probably not huge difference makers for people signing up for Game Pass. But it might help people keep Game Pass for a little bit longer. But it's not like people aren't signed. This isn't like, you know, Starfield. And you could say we want about Starfield, but you know, people signed up for Game Pass for Starfield. And you know, like I was like, that's fine. And I said it at the time was, if like the big ones start coming, then I feel like that's a real conversation. Well, let's get into it here, Gables. Like we mentioned, Tom Warren from The Verge had a report last night. Indiana Jones is apparently considered to be releasing to the PS5 some months later. He has no idea. He didn't say, like, you know, 3 months, 6 months, could be a year. I said as of right now, Bethesda tentatively is targeting a December 2024 launch for Xbox and PC. So, Gables, can we just agree that we're just going to bump that to 2025?
Yeah,
that's not coming out this year, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's like a February 2025 game, but at some point down the line, that's sometime in the next, you know, 3 maybe 6 months, whatever, it'll be coming to PlayStation. Then John Clark from Xbox Era said understands that currently Microsoft are planning a launch for Starfield on PS5 post the release of their already announced Shattered Space expansion for Xbox and PC, which is on target to arrive at some point later this year. We've also been informed that Microsoft have made an additional investment into PS5 dev kits to support ongoing development efforts, adding further fuel to the fire. And then this morning, actually, let's just talk about last night, Gables.
Okay.
When you started hearing this news,
yes,
what was your overall, like, feelings? Were you like, I mean, obviously Xbox fans and just, there's a lot of people just kind of losing their mind. Where were you on like a scale of like 10, like 10 being like, holy, like shit, to like, you know, one, like, man, whatever, who cares?
Honestly, I was really shocked, man. I mean, I didn't believe it at first because I thought it was just some sort of crazy, crazy ramblings and stuff. But it wasn't until later on last night when things started circulating more, and then we were starting to see, like, oh my gosh, the Xbox Era puts out this article, and then Tom Warren goes through, he has his article and stuff upon like Indiana Jones, and then retweets the Xbox Era thing, and then multiple people within the games industry are saying the same things, like, yeah, I heard this, yeah, I've heard that, yeah. And stuff, and that's when it went from like a 5 all the way up to like about a 10. I'm like, oh shit.
Oh, you were at 10 last night. Okay, all right.
I was at 10 last night, man. It was enough to where I actually had thoughts of, hey, maybe I should have messaged you last night because this looks big enough to where we need to do an emergency show. But I've stopped from doing that because I wanted to see if Microsoft would do a response to all of this like a day later, which we'll get into a little bit later on as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was definitely at that 9-10 range because this is something huge for... This is definitely something huge because that almost completely shifts like the gaming landscape back now, because Microsoft goes from being like last place in terms of like console race, in terms of like as a publisher right now for first party content, all of a sudden now they are like the biggest third party publisher and stuff because of all their acquisitions and all the other stuff. And they just happen to make their own games and stuff. It's like, yeah, I don't know how else you would think that would not be a huge news.
Yeah, no, I was like, okay, this is big. This is like, okay, like, and there was that talk of like, oh, this was, you know, forever there about is Starfield, is that exclusive or not and stuff like that. And we're like, I always kind of felt like, yeah, it's going to be Xbox exclusive, which it turned out to be for now. And then Indiana Jones, that was a big discussion again. And like, we probably should have known when, after the developer direct, we were all asking ourselves, like, is this coming to both consoles or just the one? And Microsoft and Xbox just never came out and officially said it was Xbox exclusive. You know, and it was like, okay, that's weird. You think immediately you would come out and say, like, hey, this is Xbox. You know, I think eventually it did a few days later, but it was like, it's like, why you want to just like post that, like, you know, right away? So I was at like a 7 because I'm like, okay, I'm like, looking, I'm like, all right, these are the studios they have like acquired. And like a lot of these are companies that have been making games for PlayStation for a long time. And I was like, all right, it's definitely Starfield's pretty big. Like that's crazy. Like that was like,
that's not even a year old.
Yeah. Well, probably by the time it comes, it'll probably be a year or so old.
Right. Right.
Assuming it does come, you know, if they're saying assuming Shadow Space the second half of this year and say, maybe that comes a few months later, maybe that's like, you know, early 2025, late 2024 to PlayStation type thing. So I was like a 7 or 8 because I was like, all right. But like, I'm like, I've always talked about the holy trinity of Xbox games, Forza, Gears, Halo.
Yep.
Well, Jeff Grubb dropped the bombshell. Now I'm like a 12 out of 10 Gables. that Gears is being considered for PlayStation, according to Jeff Grubb. And, you know, Jeff Grubb has been very plugged in, especially on the Xbox side for a long time now. And that, I mean, that's kind of why I think we're like EA and Xbox is kind of where he's made his name as far as, you know, people know him because of, you know, information he has of those two companies. And that's when I'm like, okay, you're right. I mean, like, this feels, I don't want to say on Sega levels where like they're done with consoles, but I'm like, this feels big. And we've seen, you know, the internet is acting the way you think the internet would. Some way it's equally hilarious and concerning. Yeah. But it got to the point, like, I was thinking, I messaged you this morning. I'm like, should we do an emergency podcast? I'm like, yeah. And you said, you know, wait a few hours. I'm like, okay. And a big part of my, like, at that point, I was like, all right, like, to me, I'm like, Phil and Xbox need to say something. And that was gonna be like, I'm glad, you know, because about an hour or so ago, Phil Spencer tweeted, we're listening and we hear you. We've been planning a business update event for next week where we look forward to sharing more details with you about our vision for the future of Xbox. Stay tuned. So Jeff Grubb also mentioned that, yeah, they were going to talk to the team at Xbox, like the developers, all the other companies and out that work for them and probably give them the future of what this means.
Yeah.
And then apparently at the end of this month, they were going to like announce kind of like the idea, like maybe not the full thing, but like kind of come out and talk to the you know, the public about it. Now it seems like all that's escalating and probably there sounds like they're gonna probably still talk to the team this week and then give us but now instead of the end of the month, now they're gonna do it next week. So I'm glad they came out and said something, but
yeah
go ahead.
Well, I was just saying
okay. I mean, you kind of brought it up
yes.
before the show about like, what does this mean for like your current Xbox and the next Xbox? Like I don't know. There's so many questions here that are like running through my mind of like, you know, and I feel like that's the next big thing. I'm like, we could probably tie in a lot of the questions we had into a few questions here, like
right.
kind of work them all out where, you know, if you're someone like I talked about this a few weeks ago, I'm like, if you're somebody like if they start bringing everything to PlayStation and Switch and everything like that, like, and you're someone like most gamers or most people only buy one console, maybe they buy the Switch, then usually they buy a PlayStation or Xbox.
Yes.
Like we are not the majority. We're Gables and I have all three, but actually we have all three and a Series S.
Yes.
And so we have both Xboxes. And like, what does that mean for, you know, if you're somebody that bought an Xbox over PlayStation, like that's big. Like you made a decision here. And it's like, fuck, I could have just had all of these on PlayStation. Maybe I just had to wait a little bit. Now, you know, it's like, cool. Now I missed out on all these PlayStation games. And then I'm with this console that like with no exclusives, essentially. Like, I mean, I don't know, Gables, how are you feeling about where do you think the future goes for Xbox?
The future, in my honest opinion, could be one of a couple of ways. They could put out a streaming console over the next, over the next maybe 3 years, possibly 3 to 4 years. But also what they could potentially see is like it's possible to say that maybe they are not going to be producing another console. Maybe they're just going to go not just without a console or some say. Maybe they're just going to do on PC and then have their other titles released on other platforms and have it that way. I mean, you can't really argue like say for or against either of those options right at this moment, because with this question in terms of whether or not what it does for like the consoles currently and then the future ones, it's like there's a lot of possibilities that could happen. I mean, who's to say that for like the consoles going on right now? I mean, I thought it was really odd come like the holiday season and stuff, the Xbox consoles were getting cut down in price like so quickly in regards.
You can get an Xbox Series X for like $300. I was seeing the yes. Series S for $200 to $150.
Yes, yeah. That was crazy to me thinking about that, but like all of a sudden we were hearing news reports in regards of like the console stuff or the physical stuff, you know, being either completely phased out. It's been like a combination of a bunch of different things on top of way back when Microsoft made that deal with Nintendo and stuff, allowing like Ori and the Blind Forest and some of their first party stuff to appear on their system. That is unprecedented. Cuphead as well. Games like that I thought was unprecedented because they're allowing games that were initially their console only and PC, honestly, to come onto their systems. And now, you know, hearing the blurbs about Hi-Fi Rush and then Sea of Thieves, like, okay, that's fine. I mean, that's kind of weird that you're going to also have those games on the other platforms. But then all of a sudden, hearing the reports of Starfield and then the Indiana Jones game and now potentially Gears, I mean, that's like completely almost saying to your audience right now for the future of your system is, the future is, we're going to put them on everything else. We don't need our system in order to play these games. That's what it's telling. That's what it's telling me as a consumer, as well as your loyal fan base that's been with you since day one. And of course, I feel like currently where Xbox is heading right now, I mean, it all depends on what Microsoft is going to do with it. And from what it seems like to me, in my opinion, is like, I think they're going to be completely getting out of the console race. Like,
Yeah, I mean, the problem is right now, especially with the lack of, like, communication from them, and this is just reports, and obviously, I think we all feel pretty, like, this isn't, like, fucking Reddit. These are, like, the top of the top people reporting on this stuff, like, some of the most reliable sources out there for Xbox and gaming in general, but So just in the last couple of weeks, we learned about how like Xbox sales were up, revenue was up double digit percentage, year over year, and I think it's the point now. Xbox is now the second or third most profitable arm of Microsoft, which Microsoft is the richest company in the history of mankind. So it's like, why would you want to mess with that so much? But I can also like I wonder. You know, we've been talking about forever with the whole, you know, like Activision deal and everything going on. Like,
right.
They make stuff exclusive. What do they do with Call of Duty and stuff? And I wonder, like, part of me wonders if, like, we talk about, like, okay, it'd be ridiculous to pull Call of Duty off of PlayStation because it just makes so much, like, the majority of the money from Call of Duty comes from the PlayStation side of things. You know, the number one console. You know, obviously, when I talk about this stuff, I don't include Nintendo. Like, Nintendo is its own thing to me when it comes to these two. PlayStation, Xbox are like, in one thing, Nintendo does their own thing, and they are obviously extremely fine over there. But PlayStation has been number one. And they, you know, to the point that, like, they even, like, made a deal with Activision where they get a bigger cut of the percentage when people buy stuff on their console.
Right.
They do the same thing with Fortnite. I mean, that's how powerful PlayStation is. And I wonder if, like, they saw, like whether it's Microsoft or it's the Xbox side of things, like, and, like, that's the whole, like, who made this? Was this in a Phil Spencer call? Was this an Xbox or a Microsoft call? But, like, when they see how much money these games are making on the Activision side from PlayStation, it's like, well, we can do that over there. Maybe we've been talking about a lot too of, like, you know, we've seen, like, PlayStation stuff like that, like, want to double and triple dip in their games by, like, now a TV show or movie's coming out, we're going to put a remaster or remake out not too long before the movie or TV show come out. And then we're going to get a sale there. And then after the show or movie comes out, we're getting another bump again later on.
Right.
And I'm like, maybe that's kind of what they're thinking is, hey, we're going to put this on our console. We're going to put it on PC. It's going to get sales from there. People are going to subscribe to Game Pass, play these games. And then a year later, maybe they'll buy them for $70 over there, or, you know, $50 or how much they're going to cost, you know, a year out. But I don't know. Like, I feel like as far as the future, like the current state of Xbox, I feel like it's going to be okay. I don't feel like Game Pass is going to be hugely impacted right now. Because I know a lot of people, like, weirdly enough, a lot of people just talk shit about Game Pass. And I'm like, yeah, I love Game Pass. I've been been a huge supporter of Game Pass for like 6 years now. Like, I love it. I've had it. And I think for me, it's a great deal. Obviously, for everybody else, it's different. I feel like, you know, yeah, it's like $200 or so. I always find deals to get it way cheaper. But say you pay $200 a year for it, I overall at the end of the year will save a lot of money still based off of just, like, you know, the big $70 games coming out, I'm getting on Game Pass.
Yeah.
And then all the indie games I was probably going to buy anyways on Game Pass. And then, like, the games I find and stuff like that on top of it. I feel like overall, I feel like it's a great deal. I really do. I don't, it's a joke, it's the best deal in gaming, but I honestly kind of think it's true. But yeah, like, there's definitely been a lot of stories of, like, it's not growing at the, like, it was growing and it was profitable. Phil Spencer said a couple of years ago, and we haven't seen him really report numbers much lately. So I maybe that's wonder. An issue. Yeah. Like, it seems like I wouldn't be shocked if it's going up, but maybe it's not going up at the rate they were hoping it would.
Right.
And a lot of that, but I'm like, it sucks. We're like, and I'm jumping around here a lot and I apologize, but there's so much, like, I think a lot of things tie in each other of, like, I think a big part of that is we talk about forever, Gables, about when those games hit, when Starfield hit, you know, and people have their issues with Starfield. I have my issues with Starfield. Overall, I still think it's a great game, but, like, man, once the games start hitting and they talk about having a game every quarter, it's like, man, they're that will do it. And it's like,
we're
finally on the precipice of, like, them realizing this thing they've been talking about for years. I'm like, just wait. It's like, I feel like almost like a Cubs fan where he's like, just wait till next year, man. When this hits.
Right.
And we're finally, like, 2024 finally feels like that year.
Yes, it does.
You have, like, and, like, the everything's lining up, and they, like, they, it looks like the next couple of years, like, there's a lot of shit they've announced previously in the last 3 or 4 years that feel like they're probably going to be down the pipeline here soon. And now they're going cross-platform. And it's like, it just feels like that momentum that they've been building and, like, growing and just getting people excited.
Mm-hmm.
It's just almost boom, instant. Like, it's gone.
That's why I did not understand it at first, why they would cut that type of momentum. I mean, it looked like they were finally on the right track to do what they have been trying to do now for, like, the past 10 years since the botch of the Xbox One launch. Yeah. They wanted to have enough games and stuff to release at least a game every month, or at least every quarter in that regards, to try to have it be more profitable than it could have been. This is part of the reason why I believe this has to do with Microsoft's hand, because from seeing all those initial deals, like you were just touching upon like how Call of Duty, you know, brings in and stuff for, like, say, with PlayStation, the exclusive deals of what Activision Blizzard games make on PlayStation, this and that. They saw the money. It's like, you know what? like Microsoft themselves were this thing and like, hey, we're the company that pretty much like went wild and stuff and did their own stuff and ended up becoming incredibly lucrative to the point now where it's like Xbox now is now making more than Windows, and that's crazy to think about.
Yeah, suppress Windows, which is just like a license to print money.
Exactly. And so now they're seeing the profit that they could be getting by going multi-platform with these game deals and stuff. And it's like, this is too tempting. So this definitely, I feel like, was the catalyst, like not just with Game Pass, not just this stuff, but just seeing those type of money and stuff from what Activision Blizzard was doing on top of what they have been trying to do now the past 10 years, and that's progressively get digital. It kind of feels like to me that this wasn't like a well thought out decision. I thought this feels like to me kind of like a spur of the moment sort of thing that initially did manifest itself through dealings I think Microsoft did go through and see. Because if anything else, it doesn't make any sense. There's some things that just don't add up. Why would, say, Phil Spencer, Matt Booty, like that, and like
Sarah Bond.
Sarah Bond and stuff, and like all those other people, those figureheads and stuff for Xbox and stuff, why would they be touting so much in terms of like console exclusivity for their games, for this stuff, building up all this stuff only to go third party? It doesn't make a lot of sense unless you have the higher ups in Microsoft in general that made the final decision for them.
I won't say I think it's a spur of the moment thing. This is the richest company in the world. They're not the richest company in the world for no reason. So I wouldn't be
Exactly.
shocked if this is something that's been going on over the last couple of years, especially as like this whole Activision deal has been going on. And like Phil Spencer's been pretty open about, we want to go where the gamers are. We want to
Exactly.
go to you instead of trying to get you to come to us completely. And like Phil even talked about in that interview last year, kind of funny, on the XCast about how like
The
they
Red Bull
lost the
stuff,
worst generation. Yeah, they lost the worst generation to lose because that's when people built their digital library. And yeah, it's like I've talked about before. Like I have an iPhone, not because I'm an Apple guy. It's just I've had an iPhone for years. That was just the phone I bought a decade ago, and my stuff's on there. And it's just like I don't have to relearn everything. Every time I get a new phone, I log in, everything's right back. My pictures, everything is there, and like that. And like I'm in their grasp because of that, and I feel like that's the case for a lot of people. They're Xbox fans that maybe. There's a lot of people freaking out about, oh, we're gonna lose our digital libraries. Are they gonna go away forever? And I don't agree with that so much. And we can talk about that here in a second. But like, Phil's talked about a lot about like he's like talking about like we want, like I said, go where you are, and like we just want you in the ecosystem. And that's something I've mentioned over and over again. Is like he just like they just want you in the ecosystem of Xbox, and like Game Pass is like kind of like their future. And I think that's what I mean. Like when talking about the future of Game Pass and everything, like. I feel like it'd be kind of hard to like, they flip the switch, and I don't think they can flip that switch back, to like, where like we put everything in there day one. I almost wonder like kind of how PlayStation's done it, where like when they did their whole new PS Plus thing where it's just like
Yes.
we're gonna put a lot of older games in there. And it's like I wonder if like they would've been better off like doing that instead of just like going like kind of crazy. Like we talked about like I mean, we're wrestling fans. I remember when the WWE Network came out and it's like they had all their pay-per-views for $50 a piece. And the WWE Network came out. It's like, hey, everything's just sign up for a network. All the pay-per-views are on there, $10. It's like, in a way, like it was great for us. It was great for consumers, but it was bad for the business. Like, it ended up costing them.
Absolutely.
They were losing hundreds of millions of dollars a year because now everybody, like, yeah, more people are watching the pay-per-views, but not enough to override the $50 a month they were getting from, a few million people a year on their pay-per-view buys.
Yes, absolutely.
And I wonder, like maybe, like I said, like Game Pass, maybe it's not growing as fast as they hoped. Maybe it's kind of like it's kind of hit the max. The only way it can grow any more really is either by having just continuously great hits, which obviously they've struggled for a long time,
Yes.
and also and like it's month to month. It's not like you're signing up for a year, so it's people can bounce off, come back, stuff like that. But like the only way to really grow anymore is by going on the Switch or going on the PlayStation, and I don't think that's gonna happen. Like. We've seen Xbox allow Ubisoft Plus and Xbox or EA's fucking what is it EA thing called EA Play or whatever.
Yeah, EA Play, Ubisoft
Yeah, we've
Plus,
seen
stuff like that.
Xbox allow that on their service, but when PlayStation won't like they have like the lower form of it, but they don't have the one where you could play their games day one on their platform for free. Right. But we've seen Xbox do that, you know. And yeah, so anyways, I'm kind of rambling here. I feel like the current state of Xbox is fine for consoles, for Game Pass. But yeah, like I do think we'll get the next Xbox. I think there will be one, and you know, what is that, 2027?
Yes.
But do they just go? Is it just exclusively digital at that point? You know, like we talked about, like we've been seeing all the reports about like basically all these places just not selling Xbox stuff anymore, Xbox games anymore, and especially like first party. Like I still think like you know you'll still see like I was about to say Call of Duty, but they own Call of Duty now. But you know, like maybe we'll start like the big like Maddens and the big games will probably still carry those. But yeah, like the next Halo or something probably won't come to like Walmart or Target.
No,
because there's no need to. But the problem is right now, like I said, it's so hard to, it's so easy to go down like this trail of like just the worst case scenarios for gamers.
Yes.
Because like I said, we're just waiting on information from them. And like I said, I feel like I'm kind of rambling here, but I don't think that this will be bad in the next 3 or 4 years after that, or like by the end of this decade, really. I feel like it'll be, maybe things will change a little bit, but I feel overall, it will stay the same, but I think it's all depending on how long that exclusivity window is. If we're talking a year, kind of like how we see PlayStation games come to PC, it's usually a year plus after the game has been out. Like if we're talking about that, I don't think like it's definitely like I'd be frustrated as a fan of like an Xbox fan. If you're someone that owns an Xbox, not PlayStation, but like, so like you have an Xbox, you know, like if you're a big fan of these games, like I'm going to buy an Xbox so I can play these on Game Pass day one if I'm a huge fan of that game. But if it's less, or if it's 3 months, if it's 6 months, if it's day and date, like these are things, I don't know. I've been rambling here, Gables. What are you thinking about the how long it could be for exclusivity?
For exclusivity, let's see. It's just a case by case basis, really. I feel like for Starfield, if they're just going to wait until then a DLC that's like by the end of the year for Starfield, I mean, it could be like, okay, when did Starfield release? Last June or something like that?
September.
Last September. So it could be like probably like 6 to 8 months or so after its release. That's what I'm kind of feeling. But for, say, Indiana Jones, we don't know. We don't know whether it's going to be like 6 months or a year or 2 months or whatever.
Yeah.
But the fact that we're having to talk about exclusivity for Xbox games on its Xbox systems before they go to somewhere else, it's still kind of a crazy thing for me to think about. But what I'm just thinking about, really, it's like Xbox at one point is like, okay, you can play our games and stuff on our systems and stuff. You know, this is where you go to get, like, say, get Gears or get Halo or get Forza or whatsoever. And now it's like, play it first on Xbox. You know, it's like, who cares about the exclusivity stuff? You're just going to have to wait for something that you could just play the game on your system, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, like if they come out and they say it's going to be like, everything will be exclusive for at least 12 months.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, it's definitely like, I mean, it sucks, obviously, but I feel like if you're a big enough fan of these IPs and you know of Xbox, you'll buy the next Xbox and stuff like that and continue to buy them if they stick to that plan. And like, yeah, like I'm gonna, like when Gear 6 comes out and say it comes out on the PS6 and or Xbox, I'm gonna buy an Xbox to play the next Gears game.
Well, yeah,
then buy it when it comes out day and date on Xbox rather than wait a year to go to PlayStation, you know,
especially like, if it goes on to Game Pass, you know, it's like,
yeah, on top of that, like, yeah, like as long as that's a big thing of like, as long I feel like as long as Game Pass stays the way, like for me personally, like I go where the games go. Like I'm not I'm not like a fanboy. I mean, I was for a very long time. I was a Nintendo fanboy for first like 18 years of my life. And then I got a 360 and then I was like, oh shit, this is way better. and then like, you know, and then when the PlayStation 4 came out, that's still kind of my main platform, but you know, I still bounce. I just, like I said, I go where the games go. But I forgot what we're talking about here. Oh, exclusivity.
Yes.
But like, as long as they kind of keep things the way they are, And then, yeah, like they say, like they come out and they like strict guide. Like, I feel like that's the thing they need to talk about, like timelines. Like, Hi-Fi Rush has been out for over a year now.
Yes.
Like, and like, I'm assuming it sounds like that's coming at any point in time, like probably the, you know, the next few weeks to like next month sometime. Like,
Q1, it could even be a shadow drop. I mean, we don't know.
Could be a could shadow drop it again. Yes, you're right, Gables. And but I mean, if that's been a year plus, Pentiment's been out for over a year. We haven't heard. Sea of Thieves has been out for several years. Like, as I think obviously it's gonna make a difference. Of like, I think Starfield's gonna be the first sign. I don't think if Shadow Space is later this year, like, and then that's gonna come out to put Xbox first, and then unless maybe they like the days Shadow Space comes out, it comes to PlayStation as well. But still gonna assume that's about a year. Like, I think that's gonna be the real tell. And I feel like that's fine as long as they keep having these really great, like, as long as we keep still seeing like the Wolongs, Persona 3s. A lot of really great indie games coming to Game Pass. I'm fine with that. I have seen some like smaller indie teams come out and say like they're concerned about putting their games on Xbox if they just become a Game Pass machine, which is fair. That's a totally fair concern.
Absolutely.
We've already been seeing this where a lot of like indie teams have not put their games out on Xbox because people don't buy games as often on there because they just play it for Game Pass.
Yep.
And people aren't willing to spend as much money on these consoles. Or on, you know, on after they buy the console, they're just like, I'm gonna just pay my $18 a month for Game Pass Ultimate, and I'm just gonna play what's on there, and then I'll buy the games elsewhere at other
platforms. Absolutely. When you go onto the Xbox Marketplace, it's the same thing. You know, I mean, you'll have your big indie games that are for sale, but yet you'll still see that there is a slew of indie games that are missing from that service that you know, indie developers, like you've just stated, they don't want to put some of their games on the Xbox things because people predominantly use it as a Game Pass machine. That's the number one reason I feel people own an Xbox right now, other than playing other multi-platform games, you know, like Call of Duty, like freaking Fortnite, like whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's from an indie developer's perspective, it's like you want to go to where the platform where, you know, they would definitely have the most buys. And right now it's between Steam and freaking Switch.
Switch and people, well, PlayStation, you know, PlayStation.
Well, PlayStation, yes. Of,
those, yeah, but like Xbox is definitely way last on that one. So I mean, like, what was that game I played last year? That's the Skybound people.
Skybound.
The people on the island, the kids on the island.
The
sequel, Oxenfree 2. That was like,
oh yeah,
that was one of the first ones that came out. It's like this is a studio owned by Netflix. And they came to everything except for Xbox. That was kind of the first time we started, like, people started asking that question. People started working backwards on that whole idea of, like, hey, like, yeah, there's other indie games aren't coming. And, like, a lot of times, they don't, like, the majority of the games still come, but it's, like, these, like, bigger ones. Like, unless they have, like, a deal to come to Game Pass, it's, like, these bigger ones don't come to Xbox, rather. So,
right.
And that was definitely very interesting and kind of, like, you know, my eyebrows go up a little bit there. I'm like, okay, well, that's weird. Okay, people, yeah, like, and I talked about it before, like, I bought an Xbox Series S initially, shortly after launch.
Yes.
Because I was like, I bought a Series S instead of an Xbox Series X, because I'm like, I'm just gonna play this. This is just my Game Pass machine. Like, I have a PS5. I'm gonna play all the big third party stuff and the first party stuff on there.
Yeah.
And then all the first party and what Game Pass games are on this. And eventually, I updated to an X because I want to play Hellblade 2 as beautiful as possible. So, yeah, I don't know, but kind of jumping off from there, what's getting to, I mean, what does this mean for PlayStation? And do you think this is a good or bad thing for gamers?
I think this is a bad thing for gamers first and foremost, because if Xbox is out, if, say, Microsoft and Xbox are out of that sort of like that console sort of thing and stuff, where's the competition that PlayStation is going to be going through, you know, and like competing with here? Meaning that potentially this could be a good thing for PlayStation because, well, think about it for a second here. Over the past 10 or so, no, at least over the past 20 years now, both Microsoft and Sony have been battling each other in terms of competitive prices for their consoles, for their games and stuff like that. I mean, what's to say... I know, my little dog's with me here. What's to say them increasing the cost of their console, their next console, or like their next... their game prices, you know, because say if Game Pass continues on what it's doing right now for like Xbox and stuff, and let's just say that something doesn't work out and doesn't stay around and stuff, well, now Sony has the monopoly upon the entire market space in terms of that stuff, and now they can charge whatever they want for it, you know? But
Yeah.
competition is part of the reason why game costs have kind of been that were stabilized for such a long time up until the recent years here, where not only console prices, but game prices have been increasing substantially because of a mixture of that and development costs.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of what I mean. The standard price is $10, and they do that other
Yes.
ways. They've tried, they have the $100 digital edition, and get
Yes.
it 3 days early if you buy, if you pay $100 for it. So yeah,
Right.
like we're talking this got $20 in 20 years, a little under 20 years. I'm like, yeah, like we are incredibly lucky. And people always point out, look, an Atari cost, $400 in the '80s, and or $300 in the '80s, and now now you can get a PS5 or an Xbox for $500. Like, you're
But
right, and like, go ahead.
like I was saying, man, it's like it can be a good thing for consumers as well, because when you have games, it's just the excitement of having games that you probably never even decided to go into the Xbox platform because the PlayStation may have been your console of choice, you know? So, for
Yeah.
example, if you're doing like Starfield or like Gears or whatsoever come onto the PlayStation, that's even more incentive to you to go in and buy into that type of stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. It's kind of like, like if you're a sports fan and like say you hate like Tom Brady or LeBron James, and it's like if you're like a PlayStation fanboy or something, and it's like cool. It's like you hate these people, but then like what happens if like all of a sudden they're playing on your team? All of a sudden you got like you've been ripping on Xbox and Halo for 20 years, and all of a sudden now you got Halo on your console. Like what? I don't know. It's like how do you feel about that? So yeah, I agree. I think short term, yeah, like you can argue, you can make the, it's great for consumers because now like there's a lot of people out there that say that exclusivity shouldn't exist and it's bad for the industry, and I can understand your argument in like a in a non-capitalist world. I would agree with you. But in a capitalist world where they're cap, where these companies are going to try to get every squeeze, every dime out of you as they possibly can, the like you said, like Xbox and PlayStation being there, like it's good for each other. It's good for game. If you're a PlayStation, whether
Yes.
what side you're on, they are good for the industry because yeah, like they are going to, they have to keep their prices at a competitive standpoint. So yeah, like if we've seen it already when like the PS3 came out, it's $600. Well, you can buy an Xbox and a 360 and a Wii. The Wii 60 was always a joke. You can buy those for $600 combined and get both consoles.
Yep,
That was always a
absolutely.
joke. And then we've seen Xbox One come out and they were arrogant and it was $100 more and it can't, you had to play, you had to buy the Kinect with it and that nobody wanted. And PlayStation 4 is like, cool, it's ours is $400. And like what does that mean for the future of like buying games physically? Like they can like, all right, cool, PlayStation 6 is now digital only. Like that's
Yep.
bad. Like people rip on GameStop, but like I'd argue like that's good for consumers because like you can rip on the prices that you get from GameStop and store credit, and I understand that. That's a whole different argument, but it's still good to have that ability to trade in games to then buy other games. Like I've talked about over and over again. Like yeah, I have my issues with GameStop, but I recognize that I can't buy a lot of the games that I play without GameStop being around. Like that's how it affords me the ability to play as many games as I do. And Game Pass as well. So yeah, I like short, like I said, short term, it is, it's great if you're a consumer, but yeah, like what you said, like the PS6 comes out and all of a sudden, I don't, like I said, I don't think the hardware is going to go away at least in the next decade from Xbox. But like if that gap continues to grow, we're like, all right, say it's like, well, I think PS4 to Xbox One kind of figured out it's like it was like 2 to 1, like the PlayStation 4 still outsold, like sold twice as many as Xbox Ones. If that grows to 4 to 5 to 1,
Right.
that's not good. Like and it's like it's so like you think about like I mean you look at cool I you, like well maybe someone will come in and like create their new their next console and jump into the gaming space. We've already seen Amazon kind of like half-assed deal with Luna. We've seen Google's struck out several times. Apple doesn't really like care to get into it. Like you look at every time a new console's got out there and been successful, it's because of they one of two things happened. They capitalized on a moment, or they had this killer game that came out right away.
Yes.
Look at like Sega had Sonic, and then also Nintendo. People were pissed off at Nintendo over the cartridge shit, because they were controlling the market. You had to pay obscene amount of money to put your games on our platform. You controlled
Yep.
how many you put on the platform. Sega came out, also had Sonic, and then hey, you guys can just do whatever you want, and you it's way cheaper. And then also Nintendo was very much more control, like Mortal Kombat had blood on Sega but not on Nintendo, stuff like that. And then you look at like the PlayStation got in, also they had great games, and then same thing, people were pissed off at Nintendo for sticking with, you know, the cartridge with the 64.
Yep.
And we've seen like Final Fantasy and all these, like they had Tekken, they had Final Fantasy right off the bat, boom, ready to go, Gran Turismo, so blah blah blah. Xbox comes in, you have Microsoft behind them, you have the billions of dollars from these companies to jump into it, and then Halo right off the
bat.
You can argue the Xbox, the first Xbox, didn't have a lot much more than that, but they had Halo, and like they had multiplayer gaming. That was the first console to really like focus on that. And we've seen like Microsoft like kind of half-assed get into it with the, or not Microsoft, but Google Stadia.
Yes.
And like they kind of launched with this like a pretty, like the technology was pretty good, but it was probably too early, and they didn't have a reason to play it and pay for it. Like the games that were coming on there were full priced, and they were several year old games. They didn't have their own games really to play on there. Like they opened these studios that weren't even years away from putting out their own games. And then what we've seen, like Amazon Luna, just kind of just be, I guess.
Right. I will say this though, in terms of, it just continues on in terms of like Xbox and stuff. It's like, why do people go and buy an Xbox to begin with, or want to invest in the brand to begin with? Other than, like, say, with Game Pass and stuff, they go with, like, the exclusive stuff, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, Gears, Halo, Forza, and stuff. And a bunch of the patterns that Microsoft have been doing the past couple of years made you very excited as a, like, a fan of Xbox. Because, oh, wow, all these properties now are going to be first-party exclusive stuff. You know, bearing, like, the more obvious ones that, like, Call of Duty and stuff being on PlayStation and like, Steam and this and that and stuff. We were left to believe that these were going to be a lot of first-party exclusive stuff that we're going to see over the past next couple of years and stuff. And then, you know, once we finally get a cusp of, like, seeing the fruits of what their deals are starting to present to them, you know, it's like a total, like, shift reversal and stuff. But what ultimately leads me to the question is like, how is, like, is this going to devalue Xbox, though, as a brand? And if so, I mean, is this going to be like, is it going to be like, is it going to like be like a substantial like devalue? Is it going to rise if this happens?
I think as long as they continue to put out good quality, like if they can keep this momentum, obviously there's going to be down years. Maybe like maybe don't have the big games all the time. Like you can't count on, like they said they won't have that one game a quarter every year. Obviously there's going to be quarters. It might be a year where they just don't have that. Or like maybe some of those get like it, but I guess like looking at it from if you're an Xbox fan, this probably right now how you're feeling is like, I imagine like you're, if you're like, say you're a sport, like say you live in St. Louis and we flash back like 7-8 years here. For the last 15 years, you live in St. Louis, you're a huge Rams fan. If for the last, really the last 15 years after Kurt Warner left, like you've been middling to horrendous. And then they go to LA and immediately are great. And they're in the playoffs every year. They win the fucking Super Bowl just a few years later. It's like, that's probably how almost like you rooted for this team for 15 years and they were just bad. And then they finally got good and they left.
Yep.
And now obviously maybe it's that one-to-one but analogy there, but like it's kind of probably how you're feeling. And I'm not, I don't know. Like I feel for you guys. I feel for them on that. I do. I had a point and I lost the point. There's just like a million things going through my brain right now. I apologize, but go ahead. Give us.
But it's like you spent so many years as a fan of like a platform because of the games they put out, you know, and I totally feel with longtime Xbox fans in regards to this. Cause it's like, if something of this sort happened to say like PlayStation or Nintendo, this would make me absolutely furious because especially if I bought like a console or something the past 6 months to a year, which yeah, I kind of did, didn't I?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it would make me furious because now I could have instead just saved my money and get the damn games on like the PlayStation 5 or on Steam or on Nintendo Switch, you know, without having to invest like another $500 some odd for this platform. But not only am I kind of angry with that, it doesn't give me a realm of confidence to invest any like into anything like digital in terms of game stuff on their service, because I'm not sure how long this service stuff they're going to be keeping up with, you know, like in terms with Game Pass or with their digital storefront and stuff, if they go completely third party, you know, it's like these questions obviously have to be answered by Microsoft, you know, by either Phil Spencer or whomever's in charge, to where they tell the consumers, they let them know, hey, this is what our plan is for this. This is our business decisions of why we came to this. Hey, if you're, like, say, still on our platform, so something for another 5 or 10 years, like, yeah, you may access your content or something like that that you bought on the storefronts and stuff. Because this is a very real thing to where now your consumers think, okay, well, shit. Now I got to go onto another platform because you're going to possibly do something completely stupid to where now I can't even access the stuff I've done, like I've bought maybe like 10 years ago or 15 years ago or something. I mean,
yeah.
There's just a lot of like unanswered questions. There's definitely a lot of anger, a lot of concern from not just Xbox fans, but everyone else in the games industry. Because with someone as big as Microsoft, like, completely just saying with the first party stuff with Xbox, hey, we're going to be putting our rivals' systems. We want to make bank for PlayStation, for Xbox, for, like, Nintendo releases and stuff. And quintessentially, that's kind of like that, you know? But
yeah. Yeah. Like I said, man, we're just in this... We're all in the stage of panic right now because it's just
yes.
The silence is just making us all go crazy, I think, as gamers. And like I said, I'm not in like a like I've always said, I go where the games go. Like, I would be bummed because I like Game Pass and I think it's a great service. And I don't. And like I said, I think it's just like go away from the business side of things. You know, like, what does this mean for the future? But like, as I am, yeah, like that $200 a year or so, give or take, that I spend on Game Pass is well worth it to me. And I don't want that service to go away, or at least like change in a drastic way. I feel bad for those Xbox fans out there that, you know, like, yeah, you supported this platform for a long time. And I think it's maybe ridiculous to maybe if you go a little too crazy with it, but, you could be there's things that like, I'm like, okay, I'm more of a fan than this than that. I have preferences like everybody else. But like, I'm never one to like, you know, like Kojima is like, I'm a huge fanboy of him, but you can openly talk about how much I don't like Death Stranding. You know, like, there are levels to this shit. You know, you could be a fan. You can be a little blind to things sometimes because you're fanhood, you know, like someone says something negative about Jordan Love, that's going to irk me a little bit. You know, I get it. but yeah, like I think there's gotta be some like, levels of understanding. I think, you know, like Creed said, you know, you're 6 feet from the edge, but maybe 6 feet ain't so far down. I think a lot of people are at that stage right now. And I can't believe this. Is this the first time we quoted Creed in 11 years?
Yes.
Jesus. It's been that. let's not go another 11 years. There's so many quotable songs. I feel like I'm not saying we should go like, you know, nuclear level in this shit. We were talking about, we're wrestling fans, Gabe, yes, and I, and we were talking about like everything going on with like Cody Rhodes, about he was going to main event. They've been building this work for 2 years. He's going to win the title that his dad never won at WrestleMania. And then the behind the scene bullshit happened. Rock took his place and is taking his spot in the main event of WrestleMania. Story they've been building for 2 years, just threw it away for this one moment. And I said, we were talking about, and I'm like, Cody's going to come out on Raw now tonight. And like, he can salvage this whole storyline with just an awesome promo tonight. And I feel like if Phil Spencer can come out, Sarah Bond, Matt Booty, whoever, if they could just have a great, like, they need to fucking nail this message and have, and not just like nail the message, but also have a detailed plan, a detailed, like, hey, if this is everything we're hearing is actually comes true, including, you know, Gears, Halo, all that shit, everything's on the table. Like, they need to have a concise plan and not just say we are still dedicated to the Xbox hardware and just the word salad messages that we see all the time. That's, there are 1,000 words that ultimately say nothing. Like, he needs to come out and he needs to, like, they need to nail this, whatever they say. And like I said, like, everything, like, yeah, Gears is coming, Gear 6 will be on PlayStation, but it's going to be at least a year before it comes. Like, we need to have deadlines. We need to have time, not just like, case by case base. Or like, if it is like, say, if it's just Hi-Fi Rush, like, yeah, Pentiment, these type of games are coming. Or like these games that, like he said years ago, like games that don't have, that have already, you know, you've seen a lot already on previous consoles will continue to come. Like we see like Minecraft, shit like that, like Call of Duty, all these games that, that have, you know, audiences already on other consoles, they stay there. Elder Scrolls, shit like online stuff, like, you know, like that. Like, but I feel like the next 10 days, give or take, will be very important to the future of Xbox and gaming.
Yes.
Yeah. I did not think we were gonna go 50 minutes on this, Gables. I thought this might be 30. This might be. Is this like one of the biggest days? And, you know, we've been doing this close to 11 years.
Yes.
Is definitely top five, right?
This is definitely top five. I mean, come on, let's think of it this way. I mean, the Activision Blizzard stuff that was going on with like Microsoft and stuff acquiring them. I mean, there's other stuff that has happened that have been like just crazy that we have reported upon and stuff. But I feel like this is probably the biggest moment that we've had to do in the span of the past 10 or 11 years that we've been recording, Tyler. Because when we started recording, it was just around that E3 time from back then.
Well, first episode was E3.
It was E3. And then fast forward, we're now reporting upon Xbox going third party.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like when our first episode was talking about that Xbox One press conference, where it was the TV, mm-hmm. sports thing, connect. And it's like, we've been waiting for them to turn around since then, and here we are still waiting for them to turn it around. Mm-hmm. And finally felt like we were there. And yeah, I don't know. Ryan McCaffrey, I thought, said it best on Twitter, where it just feels like, he said that if you're an Xbox fan, it's like, it feels like Xbox just keeps like, all right, so last year we had that awesome developer direct, Hi-Fi Rush comes out and it's awesome and blows everybody away. 2 months later, Redfall comes out.
Yep.
And it's just like, all right, cool. You're running. You're building the momentum. You're running. You're getting faster. You're getting faster. Bam. Step on a rake. You know? And then just a few weeks ago, we had that awesome developer direct where they showed all these games and everything looks great. And then bam, here we are fucking this. And yeah, I think he summed it up perfectly. It's like, it's just, they just keep stepping on rakes, but they're the ones like that put the rake down in the first place.
Yep.
It's that Sideshow Bob meme from our gift from fucking The Simpsons, where he's just like on a lawn full of rakes and he keeps walking into them. I feel like that's what's going on right now. So they have a chance to pick up some of these rakes, Gables, and continue to gain that momentum. And it's just all about what's going to happen the next 10 days. But is there anything else we need to talk about before we get out of here, Gables? Did you buy Suicide Squad?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
I should ask. If there's anything else that we did talk about, I mean, no, not at this moment in time, Tyler, but at the same point, dear listeners, I would like to say thank you for listening in on us and stuff. If there is anything more substantial Xbox related and stuff, we'll make sure to at least give you a little bit of a heads up and stuff. Like, if it's something major, I mean, yeah, we probably will put out something. But yet, if it's just like little bits here and there, just expect us probably the next time we record or something just to say little bits about it and stuff. I mean, both of us are full-time job dudes. I know Tyler here's on vacation and stuff like that, but
yeah, I'm on vacation this week and I'm doing more work than ever before.
Oh, I know, right? This is just hilarious. I mean, but yeah, we want to give a big thank you out to the listeners and the watchers and stuff for like our YouTube stuff, our freaking like Spotify stuff, or freaking like iTunes stuff, because without you, I mean, Tyler and I, we wouldn't be doing it as much as we would be doing and stuff. I mean, we would be recording some on some realms and stuff like that, but yet we do thank you for going through just watching the content, listening to shows and stuff. And yeah, our breaking news stuff, I mean, like I was saying to Tyler beforehand, this is like the first time in like 10 or 11 years or something like that since we started recording to where there's something major in the gaming space that is now occurring, now shifting almost to the same, maybe not as quite as the equivalent of Sega going third party, but yet it's huge. It has lasting ramifications. So from the bottom of my heart and the bottom of Tyler's, obviously, it's like, thank you for listening to us. Thank you for doing stuff. And you know what? I hope you watch some more.
Yeah, like, follow, subscribe. Go to if you're listening to us or watching us somewhere else, 5-star reviews, leave comments, tell your friends, shares with everybody. We're really pushing that YouTube stuff, so if you can hit that subscribe button and hit that likes button, that will really help us out, makes more people see us in the algorithm. You know, we gotta trick that algorithm. So we appreciate if you did that for us. And I don't know, maybe you already, if by the time you listen to this, maybe it's already happening, who knows, but I will be doing a live react to the State of Play. Gables, it's at 3:30. I'm assuming you're at work, right?
Oh, yeah, I'll be at work, so it's probably okay. Just you, man.
All right, and then if there's that rumored Nintendo Direct that might be happening on Thursday, I'll do a live react to that one, too. So just stay tuned. There's going to probably be a lot going on this week on this. If you're listening to us on Spotify or Apple, whatever, any podcast service, check us on YouTube. There's going to be a lot of content coming out. I clipped out my Suicide Squad review so far and put it on the YouTube channel this week. So if you want to check that out, we really appreciate it if you did all for that. But yeah, like Gable said, we appreciate everything you guys do for us. We do this because we love it, and we do it because people listen. So thank you guys. We'll be back shortly. We'll be back with a normal episode, unless more shit happens, like Gable said.
Yep.
We'll be back with a normal episode Saturday night. That'll be going up Sunday morning. But yeah, and thank you guys once again for listening. I was your host. I was Tyler.
And I've been Colonel Gable. So until next time, everyone, thank you for listening to another fun-filled episode of the Drunk Dash Nerds podcast.
Hey, Gables.
What?
What the fuck's happening, man? I don't know. It's fucking wild.
Oh, man. I heard that Garfield fucking hate Mondays, but man, this feels like a pretty good Monday.
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely. Maybe Garfield just actually hates Xbox. That's why he hates Xbox, and that's why he hates Mondays.
Hashtag Garfield killed Xbox.
Oh my god, what if he did? That's gonna be the thumbnail. Bye, guys.
See ya.